The process of the day will be, in the beginning of the day, we'll have a talk and interactive dialogue regarding the teaching for today. Then everyone will be given a copy of the written teaching for today, and this is yours, of course, to keep. And then we will read the entire text of today's teaching aloud. So each person will read a couple paragraphs of the teaching until the entire teaching has been read aloud. And then we will have another opportunity for questions and more interactive dialogue. We'll then take a break of a 3-hour period. And during that 3-hour period, there will be silent reflection and responses to the questions at the end of today's teaching. So in writing, you'll write out your responses to each of the questions. We'll then come back here 3 hours later. And I really do emphasize that this 3-hour period be spent in silence, complete silence. So wherever you need to be to best avail yourself of that, please take advantage of it. When we return here, then, each person will answer the questions aloud. So everyone will respond to question one, then everyone will respond aloud to question two. And then there will be another opportunity for more interactive dialogue, and then we'll end the day with a period of quiet sitting. So I encourage you to not bring any points of view to this day. Just leave them all outside the door, any that you may have bubbling. And just give yourself entirely to the natural presence of what is right here, the impact and power of what we'll be sharing today. In the first section of the teaching today, we consider the most important choice we ever make as human beings. And although we're faced with many choices and decisions in our lives from the very beginning of our lives, of really quite a myriad assortment and variety, some of them more important than others, we're constantly faced with some kind of decision. And we learn to prioritize those decisions. We learn to prioritize our choice making. And we decide what's important to us and how we're going to rank order that in terms of its importance. So all of us from the beginning are faced with what kind of decision we're going to make. I remember when my sons were little babies. They're just 17 months apart, so they've always been close in age. And I'd say, well, what would you like, milk or juice? So there they had a decision to make. And then I'd kind of hold it in the middle so they could choose either hand, not trying to put it in their right hand or their left hand, just holding it so they could make their choice of which to use. And so their choice of what to drink and their choice of which hand to use. And so from the beginning of our lives, we begin to make decisions. And sometimes we have a lot of support for making effective decisions, and sometimes we don't. But for almost all of us, without exception, whether we live in the East or West, very often we are encouraged to make choices and decisions that will fit in with conventional ways of doing things. So we're encouraged, most of us, 99.99999% of us, to make choices and decisions that will conform to what is conventional in our culture. And that includes all kinds of things. You know, the way we look, what we wear our hair, how we behave towards our parents, how we behave towards ourselves and who we consider ourselves to be, how we behave towards our peers, whether they're childhood peers or adult peers. So all of these things from the very beginning we learn to make choices and decisions about. And we learn to look at what will be important to us and what will not. And so for many of us, according to conventional points of view, we make decisions that certain things like appearances are important, or what kinds of things we own, or where we live, or the kind of relationship we have with our parents, or who our friends will be, or, you know, what kind of toys we like when we're young, and that there are toys and not someone else's toys, and that we need to hold on to our toys and make sure no one else gets them, and that if we want to share them, well, that's kind of a big ordeal. So we face all of these decisions in life, and then when we get older, and then from the beginning of life too, we learn the importance of money. That money is a currency of exchange, and if we want any of these things that are important to us, we have to have this currency of exchange in order to get them. So all of these things, you see, we're learning, it's like a constellation of all these points of view that seem to be something that's separate and apart from us. It seems like it's something apart from us that we need to get and bring into our sphere, no matter what it is. And so even though we're born just totally undifferentiated awareness, we don't remember anything from the time we're born usually, because all we are is completely undifferentiated awareness. We have no points of view. All points of view that appear are immediately exhausted in us. We don't need to segment or fragment the nature of our being into a lot of separate entities. So, you know, as we get older, we, for most of us, we decide that money's probably the most important thing going on. So even though we may not acknowledge this in a conscious way or even consider it in this way, very often money is God. Money is given a sense of divinity. Money is given a special status. It's something we really need to get, and in one way or another, it's forever elusive. Even if we amass a great deal of money, we still feel, for most of us, that it's elusive. Yesterday, I was talking about a friend of mine who no one in his family have worked in generations, not in generations, and so, you know, he was born with 12 trust funds, and then a few years ago his mother died and she left him $1 billion, and each of her four other kids $1 billion each, but he still feels like he would like more money, and he's afraid that he might lose that the money that he does have. So you see, no matter how much we get under this point of view of the dominance of money, we don't feel satisfied. It's kind of like a thorn in our mind for all of our lives, this whole thing with money. So you see, of all these decisions and choices we make, all of these decisions and choices, no matter what they are, no matter how important they may be, whether to have children or not, whether to marry or not, whether to partner or not, whatever they are, all of those choices, no matter how significant they are, they pale in comparison to the most important choice we ever make. And that most important choice that we ever make, we make in each moment, in every single moment. And that choice is whether to recognize our awareness as the basis of our perceptions or not. It's as simple as that. We have one way to go or the other. We always have complete freedom in immediate perception. And that complete freedom, the sublime nature of that complete freedom, is that we can choose to rest naturally as the original purity of our own awareness that has never been sullied by anything, or we can get involved in whatever the perception is and make something out of it. Something out of an individual perception, if we make something out of it, if we take it to be something other than awareness, then we usually start to have a flood of other perceptions associated with it too. In other words, a story. So say we're walking down the street and we see someone we have a resentment towards and they're coming the other way, and so we decide we're just going to look away. Well, see, it's already off and rolling. We see someone coming, that's the first perception, and in that perception we have complete freedom in the immediacy of that perception. We have the complete freedom to rest naturally without describing anything, or to let it mushroom, to let it, like the snowball rolling down the hill, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, snowballing into the story. If we don't choose, if we don't make that most important choice in the face of that perception to rest naturally, then the snowball starts rolling. There they are, and I've got to react in some way. And so my reaction is, I don't like them. That's what I've decided about them. I have a resentment. They did this or that, so I'm going to ignore them, or whatever it is. And no matter how powerful these seeming patterns of point of view may be in our lives, no matter what our pet points of view are, and no matter how entrenched any of these stories may be, they can be interrupted just like that through resting naturally in the immediacy of the perception. And all natural rest is to be totally free and spacious in the immediacy of whatever is occurring. Just to rest is the essence of our being. That just simply means now we don't go there. We don't describe anything that's coming up. It's just, and this is something we take responsibility for. People can support us with it,